Welcome to Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. I'm your host, Arden Bevere, and today I'm joined with my beautiful wife, Christian.
Hello.
And our brand new intern, Emmy. So, Emmy, we are so excited that you're on this podcast because this is your first ever podcast, right?
Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, well, we're excited that you're here. We always love just to do some icebreakers. But before that, we are actually going to be talking on Emmy actually just graduated from college in May. And so she had some questions that she wanted just to ask us, and we wanted to have a conversation around of just kind of these common questions that you hear from people that are not believers, that are in college and kind of, you know, dealing with some shame and kind of navigating that. But before we go into that, we had some icebreaker questions that we always love doing, and I wanted to ask you both, because we are talking about a little bit of shame, I wanted to ask you guys, what is the craziest dare you got shamed into doing?
Do you want to go first?
I'll go.
You go.
This is when I was really little. When we would be at the pool, we used to dare each other to bite people in the pool. So biting people's legs in the pool.
Did you know these people?
No.
Wow. Okay.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't know what I would do if I had a little kid bite my leg when I was in the pool. All right,
well, I don't know, a little piranha action. I don't know if mine is crazy, but it's more cliche. You know how your parents would always say, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Well, for some reason, I did that over and over again. I don't know if it's just because we lived on an island on the ocean, but we would jump off super tall bridges, and we would jump off bridges, not even into the water, and I would land, and you know, like the sting your ankle has every time. And go, why did I do that? Like, that's such a smart saying. You shouldn't just jump off a bridge.
I feel like that's just a Southern thing, though. You know.
Yeah, but it's like fun.
That's what they portray. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, let me ask you this. What was the worst thing that you ever did as a kid and got away with? I feel like, Emmy, I'm going to classify that one as the worst thing you ever did. But is there anything
else? Do you have something that trumps that one?
In church, we used to, you know, the little room dividers. Mm-hmm. We used to go before Sunday school, move the room divider so that we could sneak out of Sunday school every day. Wow. So we would never be in Sunday
school. I'm sensing a little bit of a rebellious streak here from Emmy.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to show this podcast to your mom.
Getting out of Sunday school. Maybe that's why you were biting ankles. It's because you were always getting out of Sunday school.
Yeah, you didn't have that conviction of Jesus early on. Goodness, I think for mine, actually I have a story. My cousin Maddie, we actually had her on the podcast not too long ago, but we were basically like sisters growing up. And one time, I don't know where my mom was, but we were in my mom's room and we decided to play beauty shop. And she cut my hair, like, basically butchered it, and we used like my mom's nice I guess like embroidered what would you call it, not a napkin, but some type of fancy linen, and we put makeup on our face and we wiped it off with all, it was just bad, like we ruined stuff, especially my hair. And I know my mom frowned upon it, but I think we kind of got away with it. Maybe it was wiped away as just, oh, it was cute, they were trying to do each other's hair and makeup. But it was bad. Amazing. It was really bad.
Yeah, I think I actually cut my hair one time, and I remember we were heading to a car dealership with my parents, and I just kept a hood up the whole entire time. And my mom was like, why do you have your hood on? She like yanked it off of me, and then the front part of my hair was just completely, completely unlevel. And she was like, you cut your own hair, didn't you? And I was like, yes.
Was this a bowl cut that you had cut?
No, I was just, I used to spike up the front part of my hair. So, you know, I had that little spike that came up, and it just felt like it was getting too long. And so I just went ahead and just cut it right off, and it was completely off. But, you know, that's for what it is. But I want to ask you guys last question, and we can make this one quick. But this is true shame right here. But what was the worst grade you ever got in school?
I got a 35 on a biology test.
Wow.
Probably the worst I've ever done, ever.
Yeah. But what did you tell your mom you got?
A 56.
As if it's so much better.
So from a low F to a high F. It's a little better.
Yeah.
You know, I I'm proud to say I did well with grades in college, but high school was a very different story. I'm pretty sure I got a zero for not turning something in before.
Yeah.
And not being able to make it up. So zero takes the cake on that one.
Zero. I remember, I think I was in an advanced math class, and there was no reason I should have been in the advanced math class. So I like constantly struggled. I think if I got a D on a test, I was pretty happy.
Aww.
It was like, and it was just because I got placed there in elementary school because they're like, oh, look, you know how to add well. So we're going to put you in an advanced math class and you'll be stuck in that until you graduate high school. And so I was in this advanced math class and I was taking calculus and I was like, look, I'm just going to turn in everything and fail every single test. And I think I passed the class. So I never failed a class. So I was really happy with myself. But that happens. But Emily, all right, we want to jump into it. Emmy, we want to hear from you. So the questions that you have, just kind of you acting as honestly someone that's just kind of standing in and asking these questions. Mm-hmm. And we'd love just to have conversation.
Well, can
them.
You kind of set this up a little bit, Arden, too? Because I love these questions and the particular environment that we're able to have them. Mm-hmm. But can you dive into a little bit of why we are asking these questions or why it's important to have this conversation, especially right now?
Well, why don't you do that? I think you would be able to speak to that best.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. Everything we've seen in 2020, we're believing that there is a hunger coming of people wanting honestly to connect, wanting to know, like, what is the purpose in life, especially if this is how this year is going to be, what's the purpose for living? And I think with that, there is a shame that comes of, can I actually believe? Can I embrace this new lifestyle? And so that's why we want to have these questions, real conversations that Emmy has had with people during college and during life. And, you know, we've all had these. We wanted Emmy just kind of to speak to these and to lay them out there. So we have the tools to answer these questions and just to dive into that deeper element with our relationships.
Yeah, so I graduated in May, so I've just had a lot of conversations around that subject and shame, and often the question comes up is, I'm just so wrapped up in my sin and my shame and my lifestyle that I don't think I can be forgiven and find my true identity in Christ, and just wondering about that, how do you go about doing that and getting past that shame?
Yeah. Well, I think that's really good because I always think back whenever someone kind of presents me that question, I'm like, honestly, there's the perfect example in Paul. Like, Paul was literally murdering Christians. Mm-hmm. And if you think your sin's greater than murdering Christians and murdering people, then you're like, that's crazy. But like, God can always bring you back from that. And like, Paul was this man who was murdering Christians and yet had one encounter with Jesus. And his identity, his whole life's trajectory, everything shifted. And oftentimes, you know, when we have this relationship and this encounter with God, it's all for God to have, for us to have that experience so that we can use that experience to propel us into our destiny. Mm-hmm. And I think too many times do we make the pinnacle of our Christian walk the day we got saved. We're like, that's it. And like, that was the greatest day of my life, and now I'm just kind of being a Christian and kind of going on my way, because then that's when the shame continues to keep coming in. If you're like, okay, well, yeah, that was such a great day, but then do you remember what I did on that day, like before that and all those things I did, rather than understanding like that was an amazing day, but that was just the beginning. And that's what happened with Paul, is Paul understood that was an incredible day that changed my perspective, but Paul went straight into, he went to Antioch, and he began to learn, he began to grow as a Christian, and he made sure that was not going to be the pinnacle of his life. It was going to be the ministry and the legacy that he was going to set up. And so if we just live off of this like idea of, hey, we just have this one encounter with God, well, that shame's going to keep trying to come back into our life. But then also understanding, like, none of us are perfect. Like, if I sat here and been like, yeah, like, I didn't have shame that to deal with, then that would be a complete lie. Like, God has used some of the most amazing people in history, and they've had some of the most terrible pasts. And I think that's the beauty of the gospel, is that it's this story that is going to be woven from something that is so shameful and something that is honestly breaks a lot of us. And I love this scripture even talks about where Jesus, where the woman breaks the fragrance on him and uses it on him. And he said, because she has, you know, because she has done this much, he said she'll love me so much more because she understands how much she has been set free from. And it's the unforgivable debt.
Yeah, I love that. I love that story, too, because I think it represents the shame in the past in a different circumstance, in a different analogy than we're used to. And even with Paul and Ananias, when Paul was healed and when he received the Holy Spirit and the gospel and came to know who Jesus was, he asked forgiveness for what he'd done. And he used that as a launching pad for the identity and the trajectory that he was meant for, rather than a hindrance of, well, I can't, how could I be mighty? I don't care if God said that he's called me and chosen me as an instrument because I've messed up before. But rather he said, I know that I've done this and that much more. I'm going to use that to foster into who I'm becoming. And we talk about this more in the Let's Talk About Sex study. And I've seen in my own life how the enemy will often use that. When you're becoming saved, when you're getting to know Jesus, the first time you come into the church or the 1,000th time, he will always try to use your past against you to hinder you from where you're going, because he sees that you're destined for greatness, that you're destined for a relationship with Jesus. And I've had to learn in my own mind, when I remember things that I've done, you know, whether in marriage or whatever it is, I use that one as a reminder of how good Jesus is, not how bad I was, but how good my God is. And then two, I use that as almost a celebration of how far Jesus has brought me, rather than thinking, because oftentimes we do, we think of shame and we think, how could I have ever done that? How dare I? If I did that, then there's no way I can be better. But instead think, wow, that's what I came from. This is how far I'm going. Even if it's just, that was yesterday, that was last night, I messed up, but here I am today, ready and hungry to strive for more. I think we need to start celebrating that mindset of, I am now awakened. I am now realizing who I'm supposed to be and where I can go, rather than, crap, it's Adam and Eve in the garden again. I realize I'm naked. I have the shame. No, realize where you're going.
Yeah. Actually, my mom used to always frame this out to us boys, and she used to say, honestly, the attacks that you feel in your life right now have more to deal with who you have the potential to become in the future than anyone that you have been in the past. And so what shame will do is shame will always tie you to the past, because it's something you can't fix. Like, you want to try to fix it. You want to try to do this. But the only way we can get past shame is through Jesus. And I love that, because the enemy knows. He knows your future and the potential you have. So what he'll try to do is he'll try to keep you in the past, and understanding as you navigate this shame, as you navigate this brokenness, it's not because of what you've done in the past. It's because of the person that you are going to become. And that's only through Jesus Christ.
So good.
Well, and that just speaks so much to the questions of, like, crap, I've done this. I've had sex before I'm married. How do I go back? And how do I feel worthy of, like, awesome guy in my life or awesome girl in my life? And I've also heard people say, whenever I come to the church and whenever I come to be forgiven, I just feel a little bit judged and feel this spirit of condemnation instead of encouragement. And I'm just wondering, how as Christians do we come alongside those people and challenge them instead of push them away?
Yeah, I think that's a crucial question to ask, rather than just making it a truth of, oh, I came to church and I felt this way, so I'm done with it. Or someone came here and they weren't ready to fit the standard, so they don't belong. I think we do have to make it a question for both sides. And I see for the people that are in the church and for the people that are coming, just the analogy that comes to mind is almost like an athletic team. I like to use that because this is America. We're very familiar with sports, friendly competition, and just that dynamic. And, you know, when you sign up for a team, and I remember whether it was like T-ball when you were young, or I was lucky enough to play tennis in college. And when you're in that dynamic of that sportsmanship and that team effort and striving for athletics, when I would go and join a team, one, I would practice on my own before. And two, when I would go to play with others, if they were better than me, I would aspire to that. I would say, what are they doing? What skill sets do they have? What are they doing when they practice? What can I learn from them and adapt for myself? Because that's what I want. Or if I was better than them or further along in my skill set, I would want to give them what I had learned. Because honestly, yes, there's some skill involved. There's like the natural talents, but there's practice that goes into anything we do. There is skill sets that you learn. There's something that we can all learn from each other in that dynamic. And I don't think it's very much that different in the church, because we're all striving for that relationship with Jesus, whether we know it or not. We're all products of, incredible teaching, time in the Word, practices that we're doing. And so I think when we come into the church, if we are coming in and it's new and it's uncomfortable, instead of the mindset of, I need to come here, I need to feel at home, I need to feel like I belong and fit in right away, like it's natural. I did not, the very first time I picked up a racket, I hated it. I was like, I am not good at this. But it's time and time of putting in the effort, knowing I'm striving to do this. That was the encouragement to keep going. That was the encouragement to, what do I need to do? How do I pull up my boots and get this to going? Not that Christianity is something you struggle to work for, but it's not natural when you've been living in sin. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. That is such a good thing, because you're breaking off old ties and that feels uncomfortable. But it's that practice of, I'm going to glean from the people that are around me, ask them questions, because if you come in, you're not used to it. These people don't know you. There is going to be that we need to get together, but have conversations on both sides. Pull people in. If they're not at the level you are, know that that's because this is new to them. It's something we learn. And yes, that doesn't mean condone everything they're doing, but challenge them by asking them, you know, what have you done? Why aren't you hungry? Like, what can we talk about? Make it exciting for both things, because this is something that the heavens are, they say the angels are just proclaiming, and they're excited when someone gets saved. And we should be doing the same in the church, not just in the four walls, but excited when someone's hungry to learn and pulling them into that. And the same thing, if you just know, if you're listening to this and you're excited, it's not a condemnation. It's an excitement. And we all want to rally. We're all fighting for the same cause. We're all on the same team.
Yeah. And I'll take that one step deeper of what you're talking about. Team is like, you're on a team, and you have teammates that are constantly judging you because you're bad and things like that, you're not on a great team. You know, you want to be on a team that, as you are beginning to play a sport, that these teammates are going to continue to call you to a higher standard, higher skill level, and that are going to help mm-hmm. you get to there. And so that's like, you know, as you get into those positions in sports, when you're like feeling like, oh man, I've just messed up and my teammates mad at me, all that stuff, you start just playing worse and worse. And so that's not what you're supposed to be around. And I think, you know, we don't need to look at our Christian walk as levels or things like that. It's this relationship and understanding, like when I got married to my wife, like if there were people that disagreed with that or things like that, I knew in my heart, hey, this is the person I'm supposed to spend my rest of my life with. But if I would allow their disagreement to that, you know, shame me out of...
What are their names?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shame me out of marrying my wife. I would have missed out on one of the greatest relationships that I have. And so understanding that as we go into this new journey with God is, yes, there is that process of us going, but we also understand that there's a finished work of Christ. So we never want to discount that amazing work that God can do in us. Mm-hmm. But then there is just this depth that we go. It's not this like, oh, okay, I've got to get better as a Christian. It's like, no, I want to go deeper into my relationship with God. And as I go deeper in my relationship with God, I don't worry about other things. I don't fear the opinion of man. I only want to please my Savior and God. And so just going into that, and I would say if you're in an environment where you have Christians that are judging you, I remember I used to have some Christian friends in high school, or some guys, actually, I wouldn't even say they're my friends, but they were Christians. And I could not stand, honestly, them, because they would judge everyone around them. They would judge all the people. And I'm like, look, we go to a public school. It's not a Christian school. Like, it's full of sinners. And I'm like, you're not supposed to be here to tell them all the things they're doing wrong. You're supposed to be here to encourage them, to love them, to show them a better way. And I said, if you're in this environment and just calling all of the ugly out of them, I said, you're painting a terrible picture for Christianity. And you're going to make it so they never want to have anything to do with Christianity. And so if you are in a church that is doing that to you, that's probably not the most life-giving church. Like, you look at the early church when they had new believers, like Christian said, they celebrated, they loved it. And yes, they did not be like, oh, well, how much stuff did you do wrong before coming here? Or like, you know, how bad were you? Like, you know, Jesus with the, you know, you have multiple instances, but you have him with the woman at the well, is he knew everything that she had done, mm-hmm. and he didn't speak to that. He spoke to the person that he knew she could be. And she said, you know, go back to your village, and the whole entire village got saved. And so there's the amazing things of when we can look past as Christians, and this is a challenge to Christians who are any stage in their walk with God, but when we can look past the past struggles or the past shame that anyone may have or the things that they have done, we will see them the way that God sees them. And I love that because Jesus did that so beautifully. And if he saw something that was going to hold someone back, he spoke to that. And he mm-hmm. hated the thing, not the person. Mm-hmm. He loved the person, but he hated the sin that would try to unmake the person. And so that's what we must do, is we've got to always not speak to the person as like, hey, this is your problem, but mm-hmm. speak to the problem, see the problem as the problem and not the person as the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. That's so great. And I know we're running out of time, so I'll wrap it up with that thought also of just tying it into of particularly the shame aspect of, you know, Arden watches a lot of motivational videos and putting you out there. But there was one that really caught my attention, and it was of these two boxers. One was Mike Tyson and one was Buster Douglas. And just listening to it, I was like, oh yeah, Mike Tyson's going to win, right? He always won everything. And this guy, Buster Douglas, actually came back after getting knocked out and won the match. And what I think was so amazing is when they were talking about the commentary and the guy was motivating people with this story, he said something along the lines of, the whole crowd was expecting him to stay down. Mike Tyson walked out thinking that he had won. And I think of that if we're in this arena, and especially how Hebrews says it, and even as Paul says it in 1 Corinthians, of training like an athlete so that what he says is not disgraced or discarded. The whole arena was challenging him and thinking and celebrating that he was down. But he had to tap into something different. Mm-hmm. You know, when we come into an arena, like you're saying, whether unfortunately it being a church or just being our mindset of, you know, this is what culture thinks, this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to stay down. It doesn't make sense for me to get back up and to come back from the shameful past and into championing into a new one. But we tap into something different. For Buster Douglas, he tapped into a relationship with his mom and a promise he had made. And that was something that was unnatural in the situation that helped him to come back and to win that battle. And when we're in this idea of wanting to come into a new way of being, wanting to come out of shame, we have to tap into something that's not natural. We have to turn out or tune out what's going on around us, the conversations in our mind, the people saying we can't do it. And we have to tap into, you know, if I want to pursue this relationship with God, doesn't it matter the most what he says? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it matter what he is speaking into my heart? And you know, it's amazing to win an athletic victory. It's amazing to beat Mike Tyson, but how much more amazing is it to be saved, to enter into heaven, to hear that well done? No matter what we've done in the past, the well done is waiting for anyone that calls him Jesus. And we're just encouraged. Well, we thank Emmy for coming on.
No, and I'd love, just want to make sure, I know you had a lot of questions, so I want to make sure we answer more than just two. So we'll make this response quicker, but would love you to just ask one more question.
Yeah. Well, I think too, going off of what you were saying, there's so much power in testimony and telling your story and not just leaving that shame and using it. And so basically, how do people take their story and just speak to others who are struggling with it through their story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to that scripture of we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Like, they're like, you understand in that scripture, they're putting the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony right there together. Mm-hmm. And understanding that as we got this amazing sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb, that with that, if we do not honestly, you know, share from our story, mm-hmm. we're missing out on some of the power that's coming with that. And so understanding is we don't have these stories so that we can be shameful of them. Honestly, we have these stories so that we can speak to the restoration power that Jesus has done in our life and show people like, hey, this is where I was. And yes, maybe I don't have everything figured out yet, but this is where I was, and this is how God has brought me out of it because of his sacrifice. So I think that's important. I think people everywhere need to make sure they're not ashamed of sharing their testimony. I actually remember when we were in Bible college, they actually told us to practice our testimony, because when we got into a position that we wanted to make sure we could share it in a way that's honestly going to lead people to Jesus, and not just share it from, hey, I did this and this and this, and like celebrating all the things, but celebrating what God has done in our mm-hmm. life. So I think that's important. But Emmy, seriously, thank you so much for taking time and asking us some questions. Just everything. I hope this was really impactful for you guys, because I think this is a massive topic. And this is something we can continue to keep sharing on, continue to keep talking about. But this is also going to be a topic that needs to be have through relationships, through healthy relationships. And so that's why we encourage everyone that listens to, one, either join a group, or if you are interested in joining or becoming an ambassador and leading a group, you can actually go to sonsanddaughters.tv. We just released our brand new course called Let's Talk About Sex. That is a great course, especially with navigating shame. There's a lot of shame that can come in that area, so we want to make sure we navigate those things well, and we have the right conversations with the right people. We love hearing from you guys, so please make sure, if you guys are new to the channel, make sure to subscribe, leave a comment. We'd love to hear any topics that you guys want us to cover. We are always thinking of new things that we can have conversations around and honestly answer some of those tougher questions. So please make sure that you guys leave a like, comment, because we'd love to hear from you. And until next time.